outlined our message in my wide margin Bible because I wanted to try to be a little short-windeder than what I normally am, and that didn't work out. And so I went to outline the message today that God had laid on my heart, and I own my little 5.5 by 8 sheets of paper, and I have it at the house, and I didn't have none of them, so tonight I've outlined it in my Bible out of necessity. And so we'll just go from there and see what God does. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 in your Bibles, please, tonight. 1 John and chapter number 2. I started to say, when you find your place, stand to your feet. But I better not say that. 1 John and chapter number 2. And I want to begin reading in verse number 15. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture. Trying to move right along with our studies in the book of 1 John. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. I thank You, Lord, for Thy Word that is ever before us, been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. I thank You, Lord, for its comfort, for its correction. Thank You that by it one day I was converted by the grace of God. I thank You for the privilege to be here tonight with Your people, and I pray the blessings of God would abound in this place to every home and every heart. I pray that sinners would be saved. Help us, Lord, to be careful tonight to preach the gospel and to rightly divide this text, that it might be a blessing to Your people. I pray You refresh and restore and revive the hearts and lives of God's people, regenerate the lost and the dying, and may we, as always, may we magnify the precious name of the Son of God. I pray for power and unction and liberty to preach with, and may the perfect will of God be done in this service, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I'm preaching tonight out of verse number 17. The Bible said, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." This little discourse, three verses concerning the world and the love of the world, begins in verse number 15. For the Bible said there, "Love not the world, and neither should we love, or neither should we love its policies or its pleasures." There's nothing about the world that we ought to love. In fact, Moses chose to suffer the reproaches of Christ and counted that greater riches than to enjoy the pleasures of sin or the pleasures of the world for a season. We're not to love its maxims, and we're not to love its methods. We're not to love its trends or its ends. I can remember a number of trends that the world went through as a young man. And when I was a young man, it was pretty much of a trend when I was a boy to have a butch haircut, what we call a butch. We put that red grease on it that'd make it stick up like lard on it or axle grease on it. And it was always, back then, it was a trend or a fad. It was a fad to carry your Marlboros either in the sleeve of your T-shirt rolled up, or if you didn't want people bumming off of you, you carried them in your socks. And that fad passed away, and another fad comes along right behind it. And today the boys are wearing their britches down over their hind ends. That's right, and it's a fad, and I'll be glad when that fad passes away. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, I saw a fellow get up down at the VA the other day, and I'm telling you, he didn't leave anything for the imagination. And I thought, my Lord, I mean, people come into a place around the public, and that number of people dressed in that way. But it's a fad today. It's a trend for men to wear their breeches down, way down on their hips, and it is for young ladies also, and it ought not to be that way. We still ought to dress modestly. These trends and these fads will someday pass away. But I want to take that first part of verse number 17, where the Bible said, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof." Amen. And I want to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me on this thought, preparations for the end. Preparations for the end. May I say to you that one way or another, the end is coming. Amen. And John gives us several reasons here why we ought to prepare for the end. I don't have time to go into all them. The fact that we're to love not the world because it's at enmity with God. Amen. And that's why the world is going to pass away. And then all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, they're not of the Father, but they are of the world. But here's the greatest reason here why we ought to prepare for the end is because the world passes away. Amen. There's coming an end to things as you and I know it one of these days. And I'll tell you, even as a child of God, we better be prepared. Sinners for sure better be prepared. They don't have but one chance at it, and that's to be saved by the grace of God. If they miss that, they'll spend an eternity in hell. That's right. This world is going to pass away. What John is saying here, the things that people love in this world will soon pass away. But they that do the will of God shall abide forever. I've learned a few things about this life that we're living in and being prepared. I've learned one thing, that life is very brief. It is very, very brief, the life that we're living. It seems like, and by the way, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. And our life, as the world passes away, our life is going to pass away with it. And our life is very brief, to say the best. I remember as a young boy back, and it seems like it was only yesterday, that I was playing Little League ball there behind Keeling Supermarket. But here I am now making preparations for death. I didn't think I'd ever live to be old enough to draw retirement, to draw Social Security. But lo and behold, come the month of October, November, I'll be old enough to draw Social Security. And I never dreamed I'd ever see that day get here. But looking back on that time, it was just a short while ago that I was a little snotty-nosed boy on the hills of southern Indiana, running down through Pap's old place in the briar thickets and the pine thickets, stealing potatoes out of Uncle Chester's garden and roasting them in a fire, going home with all that black soot all over our faces, and Mama knew exactly what we'd been doing. And we'd try our best to lie out of it, but you couldn't lie to Mama. And by the way, young men and women, you can't lie to Mama today. Mother knew exactly what we had been doing. It seemed like it was just yesterday that I was a boy in high school. And now it's over and past. It seems like just a flash in the pan since I come back from Vietnam. And I look at some of you young people in here, and I'd been to Vietnam, fought a war back, and had 3 children before you were ever born. And it seems like it was just yesterday. I remember the day Sister Hall walked down the aisle, and I met her at that altar, and we said, "I do," to one another. That's been over 41 years ago, and it seems like it's been that fast, and it's departed. And I'm simply saying this, that the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but they that do the will of God shall abide forever. And I'll tell you, the life is brief, and you don't have as much time as you think to prepare. It don't take long to be saved, but I'll tell you, it takes a long time to prepare to meet God. Did not the Lord say to Israel, "Prepare to meet thy God"? That's right. There's coming a day when everybody here shall stand before God. Either at the beam of Christ or the white throne judgment, we're going to stand before God. And we are, because this world passeth away and the lust thereof. Amen. That is exactly right. And so this life is really brief. Job said in Job 7 and verse 7, he said, "Oh, remember that my life is but wind." I thought of this today when I was outlining this. Wind has absolutely no substance at all. You cannot reach out and get wind in your fist and hang on to it. But yet we learned last night that the wind can be one of the most destructive forces there is in this world. And what Job is saying there, my life is like the wind. My life as I know it, that's no more than the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is a very destructive thing. Now I'm here to tell you that life will destroy you without Christ. Somebody said, what do I have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You're well on your way if you're lost and without God. That is exactly right. And life is a very destructive thing. I'm telling you, I know people that have tried to live their own life, do it their own way, have it their own way, and they have destroyed their lives, they've destroyed their spouse's lives, they've destroyed their children's lives, and many of them have destroyed the churches that they once attended. Come on in the house now, somebody. Say amen. I'm telling you, life can be destructive. Job said, my life, or said, Lord, remember that my life is but wind. That's all it is. And it's as light as a feather. Wind has absolutely no weight to it at all, no substance to it at all. And that is why Solomon said that it's all vanity, saith the preacher. It is all vanity. That is right. Hallelujah to God. Then I won't say, he said there in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 6, he said, all flesh is grass. Amen. All flesh is grass. And he said in verse 7, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. That is, that which the grass holds up fades away. That grass withereth, that grass withereth, but the flower fadeth away. And what he's saying is life is like that little blade of grass that holds up your life, and you're the flower, and that grass is going to wither, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever it is sustaining your life outside of Christ is going to wither away, and your flower, your time, your life will soon fade away. It's not going to last long, take my word for it. It's like a shadow that declineth. It just disappears in a short while. And it's moving as fast as the sun moves. And the sun has never stopped moving yet, ladies and gentlemen. Never stopped moving yet. But he goes on to say now, there in verse number 8, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Your life is like the grass, which withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Sounds to me like what John's saying here in John chapter number 2 and verse 17. Same statement. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But this world is going to pass away. James said in James chapter number 4 and verse 14, he said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. I recall that tea kettle. Some of y'all don't know what that is. You heat it, everything heated in the microwave these days. And by the way, everything's cooked in the microwave. Before long, we'll have to eat in the microwave. Somebody say amen right there. But I remember the old tea kettle. You put that water in that tea kettle and set it on the stove. And about the time she began to get hot, that tea kettle would begin to whistle. And when it began to whistle, it'd send up a little vapor. and that vapor would rise for just a little ways up in the air, and then it would just vanish away and you'd see it no more. James said that's what our life is like. It is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while. I'm telling you, life is brief, and while we have time and while we have our being and while we have the ability, we better prepare ourselves for the end, because the end is rapidly approaching and coming upon us. Buddy, I'm telling you, a blind moron could look at it, the world that we're living in, and realize that God is getting ready to wrap this thing up, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I believe that, my spirit shall not always strive with man, and as God's spirit stops striving with Noah in his day, I believe God is about to stop striving with man in the day that we're living in also. Last night might have been a wake-up call. Some of these strange phenomenons that we're having may very well be a wake-up call from God. That thing that hit that trailer park over there off across from the flea market in Greenville just went right by Tammy and Steve's house. Tammy Lynn saw the debris in it. She said, "Daddy, I couldn't believe it." Said it looked like it was coming right toward us, and here come a man driving up in our driveway hollering, "Take cover, it's going to get you, take cover, it's going to get you." And said about that time, that thing turned and headed just as straight up toward Powderly and up that way as it could go. Amen. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Amen to God. We got a lot to be thankful for, don't we?
Amen.
Might be a wake-up call.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, some of you folks that lived over in that area, your life was that close to being snuffed out last night. Amen! Come on in the house. Come on in the house now. I won't say that life is like a vapor. Life is so bitter. There's so many bitter disappointments in this life. That's right. I'm talking about bitter disappointments. I think of what Brother Shelby shared with us in there in the prayer room. Man, you're talking about a bitter disappointment of life, being married for 21 years, and you get a text message from your old man saying, "That's it, I'm gone." That's rough. Amen. Life is full of disappointments. Amen. And hey, it's going to pass away. And it's bitter. But thank God it can be bright. Hallelujah to God. Thank God. Jesus said He's come that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Life does not have to be bitter, and everything will not always be a bed of roses, but it can be brighter than what most of us are accustomed to living to. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. I want to thank Him. Thank God for what He's done in my life, where He's brought me from, and where I'm going to. Hallelujah. Thank God He loved me as a sinner and came to where I was and saved me by His marvelous grace. Amen. That's right. The home don't have to be a battleground. It can be a love nest. Amen. Thank God the family unit, God put it together. God wants to bless it together. And God wants to keep it together. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. That's right. God wants the church to stay right and the home to stay right. God even wants our country to stay right. But she's too far gone down the tube. Buddy, the queers done come out of the closet. Same-sex marriages. Liquor, booze, divorce rate higher than a marriage rate, homes breaking up, abortion, killing babies by the millions. Amen. Drunkenness, revelings, riotings, all kind of sin and vice and wickedness and pornography and men messing with little boys and girls and women messing with little boys and girls. I'm telling you, with no shame and no remorse and no repentant spirit, and I'm afraid that our country's gone down the drain. And now we've got a governor that is, he is set, ladies and gentlemen, he is bent and set on casino gambling in Kentucky. Might as well get used to it. It's coming our way. And all it is another vice to drain money out of people and bankrupt families and bankrupt homes and destroy homes.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, I didn't say nothing about this, but I'm glad the Patriots got beat Sunday. Amen. I'm always for the underdog. That's why I like Mike. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now for the underdog, friend. Amen. Now, ways to prepare. And I hope you don't think that I'm bogged down on this. But I got to say it. Conversion is a must.
Amen.
If you're, hey, and the world passeth away.
Amen.
And the lust thereof. Now come on and get a hold of that. When he said in the lust thereof, what's he talking, what's he referring to? Does the world itself lust? I doubt not. He's got to be talking about the people. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. People are who lust after this and lust after that. So what he is plainly saying is the world's going to pass away and the people that are in the world and are worldly and lost and without God, they're going to pass away right along with it. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. That's right. Conversion is a must. That's exactly right. Come on in the house. Thank God, I'm telling you, man and a woman has got to be regenerated by the power of God. Amen. Jesus told old Nicodemus when he come to him by night, he said in verse 3 of chapter 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he turned around again and said, you must marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Somebody asked old B.R. Lake and why I preached all the time on you must be born again. He said, because you must be born again. Now I'm telling you, a soul that leaves this life unconverted, it's a soul that is left unprepared, ladies and gentlemen, not prepared to meet God. You can't leave here lost and be prepared to meet God. You have got to be regenerated by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, and you cannot tell from whither it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every man that is born of the Spirit of God. Buddy, I don't know where he come from that day, and I don't know where he went to, but I know he come by my way.
Woo!
Somebody say amen right there. Thank God. That's right. Amen. Anybody listening? I said you must be born again. Got to be regenerated. That's the very first step. Amen. That's right. Said in verse 5, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That which is flesh is flesh. And that which is spirit. And the flesh is going to pass away. But the Spirit, hallelujah, hit the Spirit, are those that, amen, that abide in the Lord. That's right, thank God. They're going to abide forever, bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. I wouldn't sit here lost another minute. You're headed for the frying pan, friend. You're headed for hell, friend, where the worm dieth not and the fire will never be quenched. I don't care what Billy Graham said. There's a real fire there. There's torments there. There's a flame there. And people are going there. And hell hath enlarged itself. Amen. Hallelujah. That is right. Men need to repent so they can escape hell. Said over in the book of Psalms, which is beneath. The hell which is beneath. It's about 14 miles from you. Not far away. Now I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of Baptists duped into believing they're saved and they're not saved a bit more than a billy goat. Somebody said, how do you know, Brother Hall? Because when you're saved, you live it. And when you're saved, you love Him. And when you're saved, you leave the world. Amen. Amen. Little Joey Adler went left here on Sunday night and I said, Daddy says, Brother Hall ever get to where he can't talk? I said, boy, he sure is loud. Well, hallelujah. Regeneration. You've got to be regenerated.
Amen.
That's right. And if you're regenerated, you're assured of the resurrection.
Amen.
Notice what Jesus said in John 6 and verse number 39 and 40. And I like this. Look, I'm preaching on being prepared for the last day. Being prepared for the end. Being prepared for the end. Notice what he said in that chapter in verse 39 and 40 in chapter 6 of John. Jesus said, "And this is the Father's will, which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Woo! Let the Armenians put that in their corn cob pipe and smoke it, friend. "Of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing." And he's never lost one and never shall lose one of his own. The foundation of God stand assured, for he knoweth those that are his, and let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'll guarantee you, if you're in, you're in, friend. Amen. If you ever got inside the door, you're in. Somebody said, yeah, but said that a woman told me this all the other day. Said, "I know the Bible said that no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand, but said we didn't say we couldn't take ourselves out. Any man be a fool to get on the other side of the door and want to come back."
Right.
I've never met anybody coming back from Calvary. Said every sinner that I know that's ever went to Calvary, I've never met him coming back. Why? Because he got on the inside of the door, got a good look at what it was on the inside, and realized had better things in there than what's out here. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God. It's like the tabernacle in the wilderness. Them old badger skins wasn't very pretty. But son, when you got on the inside, woo! Hallelujah to God. There was that golden candelabra and the table of showbread, and behind the veil, that Shekinah glory. Amen! The mercy seat, all of it overlaid with gold, and there was sockets, and amen! Wood set in silver, humanity, amen, in redemption. Woo! Thank God, when I got on the inside, I saw some things I'd never seen before in my life. I'd be a fool to want to open the door and climb back out into the world. That passes away. I'm in something that shall never fade away.
Amen.
That's right. So the resurrection, if you convert it, you're regenerated. You're assured of the resurrection. And notice this. In that last day. And notice it says in verse number, in the rest of that verse, "But should raise it up again at the last day." Verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." I'm talking about preparing for the end.
Amen.
Somebody said, "What if you get buried? What if I do?" They just put your body in a coffin, which is in the book of Genesis. They put Joseph in a coffin and said it's a hope chest.
Amen.
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 Thank God. Don't worry about me if I go on and pass away. Don't come in here and pout. Praise God.
Amen.
Come and shout. Some of you probably would call shout because I was gone. Amen. Amen right there. But don't pat it out. Shout it out.
Amen.
Praise God, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Amen.
And if I have to walk through the veil, I've got assurance that on that last day, amen, when the world passes away and the lust thereof, there's going to come a cry from glory itself. And this old body's going to get up out of the grave, incorruptible. Amen to God. It's corruption will put on incorruption. That mortal will put on immortality. And death will be swallowed up in life. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I feel like preaching a little while tonight. Amen. My God, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. He'll raise you up at the last day. Better be converted if you're going to be prepared for the last day. Now, not only regeneration and resurrection, but in John chapter number 12, and verse number verse number 48, I believe it is. It said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." I'm preaching on preparations for the end. He said that word is going to judge you in the last day. Now you better hear what I'm... That's talking about a recompense. And when I say recompense, it can be used two ways. God will recompense those that are righteous. He'll recompense them with good. But I'm telling you, those that sinned and lived an ungodly life, He will recompense them with the evil that is due them.
Amen.
It can go bad and it can go good. And He said, "I'm going to judge you in the last day." In fact,
Amen.
He said, this word,
Amen.
That Bible, that book. It might do us all well to get a little bit better acquainted with the book. That book's going to judge us in the last day. The word that I've spoken to you, the same shall judge him in the last day. And it says there, "He that rejecteth me." And in so many words, what Christ is saying, that man that rejects me, in that last day I'm going to reject him. Oh, many will say, "Lord, Lord, while we've cast out devils and we've spoke in tongues and we've raised the dead, you have." Is that right, Mr. Roberts? You actually raised somebody from the dead? I'm talking about oral.
Right.
And you, Mr. Hagee, you actually healed all them sick people? Well, Lord, Lord. Well, many will cry, "Lord, Lord."
Right.
I'm going to tell you what the Lord will tell them. "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity."
Amen.
"Not that I didn't know you once and forgot you. I never knew you." What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we live in a world that is eat up with religion. Eat up alive with religion. But I'm going to tell you there's not but a little small remnant. Woo! That knows anything about old time Holy Ghost. Salvation of the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about singing, preaching, praying, and a shouting in the old time way. My say amen right there. Hallelujah. I like it. Glory to God. Amen. You can either have him reject you or hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." So all I'm saying is, preparation for the last, for the end, you better make sure you're converted. I want to say number two. Not only conversion is a must. It's going to get a little tougher now. Confession. Must be made. And I'm not talking about going into a little booth and confessing to a fellow that calls himself a papa and dresses like a mama. And I'm not talking about sitting in the preacher's office and telling him everything you've done. I'm talking about finding your great high priest and confessing your sin to him. "For he whosoever confesses and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy."
Amen.
Are you listening to me? You can't cover it up. Now, that's one of the greatest evils in our Baptist church today. We forgot what the altar's for.
Amen.
We've forgotten that it's there. Somebody said, and we can sin. We can get in a battle royal at the house and come down to the church and think everything's all right and never make it right with God. We think God just looks over that as long as we pick up where we left off and go on and do good. No, God does not look over that. Buddy, there's a thing called getting right.
Amen.
We can fall out with a brotherhood. Gossip. Talk about people. And as long as we then let it ride, let it pass, everything's hunky-dory and we think God's forgotten about it. God hadn't forgotten nothing.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, we'll never have the power of God. We'll never have the joy of the Lord. We'll never have the help that we need until we learn to confess our sins to Him. What's that you got on the sign up there? Cast all your care upon Him? That's what I thought. Why? Because He cares for you.
Amen.
Now stay right with me. Listen to this. Cain could have confessed, but Cain lied instead of confessing.
Amen.
Where's your brother? Why am I my brother's keeper? God gave him a chance to confess right there when He said, "Where's your brother?"
Right.
But Cain lied when he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" God said, "You've done lost it, son." His blood cries from the ground.
Amen.
So Cain lied rather than confess. David delayed before he confessed. And he, hey, are you listening to me? And it cost him greatly. The best way to say, by the way, and when there is unconfessed sin in your life, my life, whoever's life it is, our fellowship with the Lord is broken. I don't care who we are. And you, hey, here is what a man that committed adultery, a preacher, told another preacher that told me. He said, "This preacher told me that you preached a message in so-and-so place, and God told him if he'd get right then, that he'd work things out for him." Said rather than confess it, he bottled it up on the inside and refused to confess it. That man's out of the ministry today. You know why? He got a recompense of the reward. Amen. Come on in the house now. All them times you've had roast preacher, God will remind you of that someday. God will remind you of it. Every time you've had roast neighbor, God will remind you of it. Me too. Me too. I'm not exempt. God will remind you of it. Achan got caught. And David said, "Give glory to God." And he said, "I'm guilty."
Amen.
But he got caught before he said, "I'm guilty."
Right.
You'll find no mercy confessing after you're caught.
Right.
Confession, boy, it's got quiet, thank
Amen.
God. Confession's got to be made prior to getting caught. I'm trying to hurry as fast as I can. If you sin against Christ, confess to Him.
Amen.
If you sin against the church, march your royal backside right up here and tell the church exactly what you've done.
Amen.
So I said, "Oh, I don't believe we have to do that." Confession is made to whomsoever or whosoever is sinned against. If it's Christ, confess it to Him. If it's the church, confess it to Christ. Then come to the church and tell the church about it.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, that's what's killing us today, right there.
Amen.
People sin against the church and go right on. And we're going to have to act in a few minutes on a letter that we've got. And I'm not making the decision. I'm putting the monkey on your back. You're going to make the decision. You're going to make the decision. You're the church. We've got to either grant a letter or not grant a letter to some people. And you're going to make the decision. You're the church. That's right. But I will say this. They left wrong and they have never tried to get right. And I love them. They have never tried to get right with the church.
Amen.
I say, thirdly, if you sin against a Christian, you're going to have to get right with that Christian.
Amen.
You sin against your brother, go to him. If he'll hear you, warn your brother. If he don't, take two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. If he still won't hear it, bring him to the church. If he won't hear the church, count him as a heathen and a publican. And the monkey is off your back. There's a right way and a wrong way to do this thing. God's laid it all down in the Bible. And I'm telling you, church discipline is not much practiced anymore.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why. No, it's not. People get intertwined, and I like so-and-so, and I like this, and I like that, and I like that. And we like that and these and them a whole lot more than we love God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, may I say this? Confession always cleanses. David said in Psalm 51, David said over in Psalm number 51,
Amen.
He said in verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." He said, "I've confessed it. I acknowledge it. Cleanse me." He said in verse number 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." And I'm going to tell you what, friend. You get somebody that's got sin in their life, and they won't confess it and get it right, it's like a broken bone in your body. It'll ache and hurt and throb and pound, and it just won't be right. Amen! It's like a broken bone in the leg. It'll body your walk. It's like a broken bone in your hand. It'll body your work.
Right. Amen.
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 Now, conversion is a must. Confession. Confession must be made. I know you're going to like this, and I found this hobby horse, and I think it's a hole I need to hoe in. I'm going to keep on hoeing it. The church must have priority in your life.
Amen.
You're going to be prepared for the end. You cannot dislike that which Christ died for and be right with Him.
Amen.
He purchased the church with His own blood. And you or me, either one, cannot be right with God if we're not right with the church. And put the church in its proper priority.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm tired of people laying out of church just because they've got some little flimsy, flimsy excuse that don't amount to a hill of beans.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're going to stand. Hey, the world passes away. What are you going to do when you stand before God? And He says, "What about this little excuse that you know you made? This little excuse, and this little excuse, and this little excuse." And I'm going to tell you, you take a whole bunch of little excuses, you know what they amount up to? Unfaithfulness.
Right.
I love you, church. But I'm telling you, man, that's a problem here.
Amen.
And I'd have never dreamed it had ever gotten that way.
Amen.
But it is. I wish it. Who was it preached? "Forsake not the assembling of yourself." Brother Ryan McGuire preached on that verse of Scripture in the camp meeting. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together,"
Amen.
"As a manner of some is, but rather exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." As you see the day approaching, what day? The end. The last day that we're living in.
Amen.
Now the church, may I say that it can be removed. God don't play games with His church.
Amen.
He said to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2:5, he said, "You better repent and do the first works over, else I'll come quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place."
Amen.
In other words, I'll remove the church. Somebody said, "Oh, God wouldn't do that." There's people all over the country that's meeting in a building, and all they are is an empty shell meeting inside of an empty shell.
Amen.
There's no God there.
Yeah.
And it's because God moved the candlestick, and they ain't got enough sense to realize it.
Amen.
I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. When God moves a God-called preacher, when God takes away the joy and the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, we're in trouble for Him. And it didn't say He'd tarry and give everybody an opportunity. He said, "I'll come quickly."
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Why? I'm about tired of your style of preaching. Got one, two choices. Put up with it or put me down the road because I ain't about to change.
Amen.
I'm going to keep on preaching it. People ought to be faithful.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question. How would you like it if Sister Hall and I took off some Sunday and never called in here and told nobody we was leaving?
Right.
How'd you like it if we missed church and never told nobody that we was going?
Right.
How many times do you think you'd put up with that?
Preacher.
Nod your heads up and down, folks.
Amen.
You know you wouldn't tolerate that. But the church can be rescued.
Amen.
And the church can rejoice. And I'm done right here. Conversion is a must. Confession must be made. Church must have priority. And a careless life must be avoided. If we're going to be ready in the end, we better not be living too carelessly.
Amen.
Somebody said, do you have scripture for that? I'd be quite a fool to make a statement and not have the scripture for it. He said in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse 15, he said, seeing that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. You know what that word circumspectly means? Careful. Cautiously.
Amen.
And he likens somebody that's not walking cautiously to a fool.
Yep.
And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
Amen.
And I want to show you where we're really careless. Ain't nobody upset, are they? Listen to what the Bible says. This know also that in last days, perilous times shall come. Men will become lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
Right.
I wrote this down in my print. I said, account must be given. No, that ain't where I wrote it down. Where did I write it down? I must have wrote it down in this book. Hold on a minute. I think I did write down in this book. Stay right with me. Help me, Lord. Oh, yeah. I said, don't become careless. Don't be so careless as to become intimate with the crowd. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And Paul told Timothy, from such, turn away.
Amen.
Get away from them. Stay away. And you know what happened to this crowd that become lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God? Lovers of pleasure, blasphemers, disobedient. You know what happened to them? They got careless. They thought they got away with a little and they tried to get away with a lot.
Right.
But they forgot one thing. The world passeth away.
Amen.
And they're going to find out that they didn't get away.
Amen.
Nothing. What about it? Are you prepared for the end? Converted? Fessed up? Got the church in the right perspective. I know it didn't sit well with some of you, but I'm telling you, it's right.
Amen.
And if it's right, you can't rebuke me over it. You might rebuke me, but God wouldn't be pleased with it. Because I told it right. Let's stand together.